Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I have one expression, that's this. Right now I'm happy, and when I get sad, I look the same way, so. They say that's a Norwegian trait. Anyway, the subject matter is the temple. Why don't you excuse my voice, I got a little bit of allergy going. But I labeled it the place where God lives with his people on earth. And I want us to really get that thought. The temple is the place where God lives with his people on earth. When we think of God, of course, he's transcendent, which means he's everywhere. We think of him as being in heaven. Of course, he's in heaven. And he's all places at all times. But he's also close and near us. And he dwells with us on earth. The temple is a place on earth where God sets up his home, to dwell with man. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And that'll be our text for this morning. Got it up here. Let me read. See, I'm in the NIV, and it reads, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Paul, in the context here, is talking about both Jew and Gentile. But listen to what he's saying. He's saying that we are being put together as a holy temple, and that we're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Where does God live? By his Spirit. Right here, today, as we've gathered. Every local church that's gathered that calls on the name of the Lord, they too are a dwelling place for God. But we have a tendency of thinking that he's far off, and somehow we have to, you know, pray hard enough or sing good enough or do certain things to get him to be close to us. But this is saying that he has built us together as a temple and a place where he lives by his Spirit. Have you ever thought of that? Is that a yes or a no? Amen. So he's here this morning. Regardless if we sang enough songs or if we, you know, felt it or didn't feel it, ever do feel it or feel it all the time, his presence is with us. When the church comes together, it creates a spiritual house where God lives by his Spirit. Where God lives by his Spirit. I said, where God lives by his Spirit. Amen. That's what I was looking for. Excuse me. So he's here today. Again, we may not feel it, we may not sense it, but he is. And every time the church gathers, he is. It's a dwelling place where God lives on the earth with his people, which has been God's purpose from the very beginning, is that he wanted a dwelling place for mankind to live and to live with mankind. It says that it's a holy temple, and it's where God lives. It's God's home. So we've created a home for God today. When you got up out of bed and you decided, will I go to church or won't I go to church? And most of you here didn't make that decision. It wasn't a hard decision for you to make. You just said, I'm going to church. But you need to realize that what you were doing is it was like all the bricks and mortar was coming together. And as we gathered together, we were creating a place in which God dwells. A home for God on the earth. Look at 1 Peter. First Peter 2, 4 through 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It says that we're coming together as living stones. In other words, we've been born again. The Spirit of God lives and dwells in each one of us. God's not building a building out of brick and mortar or dead things, but building out of living things. You've been made alive by the Spirit of Christ, and Christ lives in you. And as we come together, these living stones, we are building a spiritual house and to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Living stones, the life of the Spirit within us, and sharing that life with each other as God knits us together. I think that's pretty cool. I said, I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I really, if we could just, if I could just get my voice back, if we could just dwell on that and the reality of that, there's a way of cultivating that mindset. There's a way of preparing our hearts and our understanding so that when we do come together, it's not a service in which we watch worship team worship or we passively listen to a message or we don't engage the Lord at all. It's a place where it's God's home and we've come to this home to meet with him. And there's so many blessings in gathering together with God, the healing and healing of your heart, just getting a word from him, a place to pray, a place to unload your heart and your burdens. It's just a place where God is there. He said, tell you what, this is my house. Have at it. I'm here for you. Again, I said it was God's purpose from the beginning to live with mankind on the earth. We think of quite often in our Christianity that Christianity is receiving Jesus Christ so that when we die, we go to heaven. And that's part of it. But it's not the fullness of it. If we look in Revelation 21, which we won't right now, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth coming down to earth. Not us and earth going up to heaven, but heaven coming down to earth. God has always wanted to dwell on the earth with his humanity. That's why he created the earth in the first place. Many scholars are beginning to embrace the idea that from ancient Near Eastern cultures, it was the idea that creation was a place where God would dwell with his people. And so they began to see that perhaps creation itself is a temple. We see God in 6 days putting together the earth, and I won't go through the days with you. God bless you. But by the seventh day, it says that God rested. But rest in the Old Testament doesn't mean he succeeded or stopped working. Rest was, again, in the ancient Near Eastern culture, they understood that when the deity was done or the temple was done being built, he would move into it and begin the business of living in the New Testament, or in the temple. And so the seventh day, it said that God rested. And many scholars believe that this was the time where God entered his temple and began the business of living out what it is that he was going to live out with mankind. It's kind of like building a house, and you're going about the business of building that house. You're getting all the construction together. You're getting all the plans together. You're putting up the frame. You're putting up, you know, all the things that need to be put up. And then once it's done, you move in and you begin the process of living and doing what the house was meant to be. And that's the idea of creation, that once God created, he moved in on the seventh day to begin to live out this life with God, or with mankind on earth. Or it's like putting a computer together. How many have ever done that? Enjoyed that, didn't you? Did you see his hand? Go to him. But you're putting the hard drive, you're putting the monitor, you're putting the mouse, you're putting the keyboard, you're loading the software, you're creating, you're building. But that isn't the purpose. The purpose is, once it's together, you can use it for what it was meant to be used for. And so again, the idea of God's creation as a temple, as a place in which he would dwell with humanity on the earth. The temple was where heaven and earth intersected, and it still is. Today, as we gather, this is where heaven and earth intersect. I don't necessarily, and this is just kind of speculation, but I don't necessarily believe that heaven is out there somewhere. I believe that there's just a veil. Heaven is a place where God exists, and there's just a veil between heaven and earth, heaven and this material realm. It's not necessarily up there, out of there. Hubble telescope proved that they're, you know, they haven't seen heaven yet out there. But it's a realm that God lives in, and he wants to intersect with this realm. That's why he's called us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He wants heaven and earth to intersect. And the temple was where heaven and earth intersected. The temple theme runs throughout the story of God. Of course, we know that sin separated man from God's presence. But mankind didn't just lose paradise when they were banned from the garden. They lost the presence of their God. Now again, when we're talking about his presence being, or the church being God's home, a place for him to dwell, maybe some of you are used to that not being a reality for you. Used to not necessarily experiencing, if we can use that term, his presence. But we have to come to the realization that he is here, he is with us, he is available to us, and we're available to him. And the greatest loss that occurred when Adam and Eve sinned was they lost the presence of God. They were banned from the garden. And that's where God dwelt with them. Many believe that the garden was the Holy of Holies, in which God dwelt with his people. But all throughout the story of God and his people, he was working to restore what was lost. Moses was instructed to build a tabernacle in the wilderness in which God would dwell with his people. And I guess we have a picture of that. And it's been taught here before, and you're probably familiar with it. But they built this in the wilderness under God's instructions. And we have an outer court, and this is where they brought the animals, and they would sacrifice the animals in the outer court. And then this separate tent, there was an inner court where the priest would do their ministry. And then in that was the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt. You can see his glory in that cloud, in that specific place, over the cherubim, over the Ark of the Covenant, and only the high priest could enter there. But that's where God dwelt with his people on earth, with the nation of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. They had built this tabernacle under God's instruction, and this is how they met with their God. But they also knew that God was present with them, as he would appear as a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night, because God wanted to dwell with his people. So he didn't leave mankind separated from himself. Again, having the outer court, the holy place, the Holy of Holies. And again, the Holy of Holies is where the actual presence of God was, and where the high priest would meet with him on behalf of the people. But it's where God lived. Does that sound familiar? So we're talking about, where does God live? And of course, like I say, he's transcendent. But where else does he live? This morning, right here. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Isn't that exciting? Look at how excited I am. Isn't that exciting? But that truth and that reality, and we enjoy the worship team as they try to help us enter into praise and worship. But you know, the temple wasn't made for us. It was made for God to dwell in. And we're invited into it because it's the place where we worship God. And so as we come together and create this home for God to dwell in, as each local church does, the worship team helps us to express our praise and our worship and our love and our adoration for him while we're here. And so kind of a gentle rebuke. It's easy to be passive during that time. It's easy to be passive and just kind of listen to the songs, or, you know, not really engage our hearts or not really engage our minds. And I'm not thinking of any one person, though I could name a few, and they're all family members. No, I'm just kidding. But it's easy to get passive. It's easy to have our minds filled with other things and whatever, but we forget that this is God's home temporarily, why we've gathered together. And while we're here, we worship God. While we're here, we hear from God. While we're here, we're in his presence. Amen. Later on, after Israel entered the Promised Land, Solomon built a more permanent temple. It was a little bit more sophisticated than Moses' tabernacle. But if we look at 2 Chronicles 7, after the temple was done being built, in 2 Chronicles 7, it says, when Solomon had ended his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. He moved in. Just like when creation was done, he moved in. The priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house When all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground and worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." So just an automatic response to seeing and sensing the glory of God and the presence of God is a heart of worship. The presence of God among Israel is what made Israel unique among all other nations. This, I think, is an important point for us to understand. In Exodus 33, Moses cried out to the Lord, and he said, and the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then Moses said to him, "If your presence do not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" What distinguished Israel from all other nations was the one true God dwelt with them. All other nations had their own gods and did their own thing, but the uniqueness of Israel is the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, the creator of heaven and earth, dwelt with the nation of Israel. That is what made Israel unique, not just because they were Israel, just because they were a chosen nation. It was the fact that the presence of God was with them. And this is true of the church. The church is the most unique place on planet Earth. Do you know that today, sitting here today, you are a unique people? It's not like a Lions Club or a community organization or any other type of organization or even any other religion that gathers. When the church gathers, the one true God makes his home with them. And that makes us unique. The church is the most unique entity on planet Earth. I said the church is the most unique entity on planet Earth. You're getting it that when I repeat something, when I repeat it, because I want us to get that. Isn't that, that's awesome again. To me, it's awesome. It's just, you know, we may not feel like we're anything as a group of people. You know, we're not a mega church. We're not a, you know, all the things, the celebrity status and all of this thing that happens in modern day Christianity. We're a group of people that have gathered, created a house for God to dwell in. And we are unique because of that. Every other meeting going on the earth today that isn't surrounded around Jesus Christ does not have the uniqueness that the church does when it gathers. Amen? Well, we continue. Because of idolatry and disobedience, God withdrew his presence from Israel, and you can read that through the history of Israel. There was another temple built, but there was never this sense of presence that was ever felt in the first temple that was built. And that was right up until Jesus' time. There just wasn't this sense of glory and presence in the Second Temple Judaism and such until Jesus came. And then in 70 AD, the actual physical temple was finally destroyed. So there was no more physical temple in which the Jews would worship. They'd worship in their synagogues and so forth after that. But Jesus came along. And he came to dwell. It was God who came to dwell with mankind in human flesh, and to redeem them, to bring about the new creation with a new kind of temple that will be everlasting, if you'd look at John 1:14. It says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that word dwelling means tabernacled, like the tabernacle in the wilderness, the Holy of Holies. Jesus came to dwell with us. He was the tabernacle. He was the home of the Spirit of God in our midst. It says, we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In John 2, 19 through 21, and Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple, speaking of the brick and mortar. He said, I'll rise it up again in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days. But the temple that he had spoken of was his body. God had come, and what we call the incarnation, come and dwelt in human flesh. Once again, heaven and earth intersecting. Heaven and earth intersecting. Are you getting the idea that there's this desire for God to intersect with us and live with us and dwell with us? I think that's awesome. A little overuse of that word, but it just wells up in my spirit whenever I think of that. I've meditated on this idea and these thoughts over the years as a pastor of a church, and we tried in many ways to get God to show up. If we would just sing this list of songs and end it this way, or if we would just pray more during the service, or if we would just do this or do that, and we were trying to get God to show up when all along he was there enjoying our praise and worship, enjoying our prayers. And we didn't have to beg him to show up. We didn't have to beg him to come. He was already there. And once we began to realize that, I come from a charismatic background, and I ask your forgiveness for that. But I've seen a lot of the extremes, but I've also seen a lot of balance, and I felt like I achieved, not me, but the Lord achieved that balance in our midst. As a church, as we went along, it took a long time because there's always what I call crazymatics, and that's not trying to be unkind, but there's just sometimes people that are trying too hard. But God was there, and as we realized his presence, there were times when, like our brother comes and gives us a word of encouragement, and it just was the right word for the right person at the right time, or maybe it was a word for the congregation as a whole. There were times in which I don't know what I have, but when I first came to Christ, I had cried out to God and said, I want whatever you have available for me. And I would read through the list of 1 Corinthians 12, and I don't know where all of you are with that, but the manifestations of the Spirit. And I would just hunger and thirst and say, God, whatever you have for me. Because I know that when we're in God's house, God's there not to just be passive and receive from us, but to in turn give to us. And so I did sense his presence in different ways. I could tell when somebody had a word for us, and I would wait on it or instruct the congregation, let's just wait on this. I believe God has something for us. I could tell a number of things. There's times, and I'm not bragging about this, these are gifts from God, but I knew when someone was sick and what the sickness was, and we would pray for it. Just other different things, prophesy sometimes, but all in caution, all within the framework of submitting to God's word and doing all things orderly, as Paul would say. But the sense of God's presence, in times of preaching, I would just sense his presence just come upon me in such a way that the notes no longer mattered. And it wasn't because it was extemporaneous and just kind of, you know, off the cuff, that it was anointed. You know, you can stick with your notes and be very anointed. There's times here that my wife and I have been sitting in the congregation, and just the sense of God's presence became not overwhelming, as I would say it, but very aware of God's presence. And whether Pastor Craig knew about it or not, but just the words he was saying, it was like so zeroed in and so focused and so risen up within me and bore witness to my spirit. And that's God present with us when we are gathered together. And just other different ways. And you may not have ever experienced any of that. But I believe that if we have a hungry heart, and I hate to use that term, because the Spirit of God dwells within us, but our yearnings, I believe, are what help connect us to that. Our yearnings of our heart. Not our passivity, but the yearnings of our heart. And when we yearn for God, it seems like that opens us up for more of sensing his presence and his spirit. So I hope I didn't get off track on with that, but there's just something about his presence that I wouldn't trade it for all the world. I wouldn't trade it for anything at all. You know what it means when a preacher looks at a clock or his watch? Absolutely nothing. I just realized what time it was. I got to get going. The church is now the temple of God. After the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was given to dwell in and empower the followers of Jesus, the church. And we've read this passage before in Acts 2, where it says, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will dream dreams and prophesy and do all these things, because the Spirit of the Lord has been poured out, because the church has become the new home, the new temple of God. The word temple in the New Testament, as it's used, as Paul uses it at least, comes from the Greek word naos, N-A-O-S. I may be pronouncing it wrong. But it means the inner sanctuary or the Holy of Holies. So as we saw Moses' tabernacle, we saw the outer court where people could hang, and we saw the inner court where only the priest could go, and then we saw the Holy of Holies where only the high priest could go. And this word temple in the New Testament is the word for Holy of Holies. That means all of us are invited into the Holy of Holies. All of us can experience the Holy of Holies. We are, in fact, the Holy of Holies when we gather together. Amen. And when Paul talks about the temple, he talks about it one time individually in 1 Corinthians 6. It says in verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. And all other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples or naos or the Holy of Holies of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You're not your own. Why? Because you're God's house. Your body is God's house. That's where he dwells. It says, you were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. Now, Paul was getting after some things here because in Corinth, they were coming out of pagan backgrounds and coming out of cultic religions where sexual activity was the norm. There were temple prostitutes and so forth and so on. And these are people that are growing into their faith and growing into their understanding of what it means to be a believer and a follower of Jesus. But he hits on this issue because he just wanted them to know that this is God's home that we house as individuals, and that it does matter what we do with our body. it does matter. And so it's a great honor to be God's house. Amen? It's a great honor. But mostly when Paul talks in, I don't know if that was good grammar, mostly. But mostly when God Paul talks in the New Testament and he uses the word you, it's a plural. He's talking to the church as a whole. And for example, in 1 Corinthians 3:10, don't you know that you yourselves, it's plural, not individually, are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroy God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. And there he's just dealing with false prophets and false teachers and false things that are coming in to destroy the church. And he was just warning, listen, this is God's house. Don't be about the business of destroying God's house. Because God ain't happy when that happens, amen? Could you imagine someone coming with a sledgehammer and start knocking away at the walls in your house and so forth and so on? We want to be careful in the house of the Lord. He goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 6, for we are the temple or the home of the living God. And as God said, and this is a quote that runs throughout the Old Testament, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, what promises? That he'll be a father, and that we'll be sons, and that he's going to live with us. When we have these promises, dear friend, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So again, he's letting us know that the church is the temple, the naos, the inner sanctuary, the holy holies for God. But there's also a responsibility that comes with that. And that is the fact that it is a holy temple. And that we're to come out from the world and the ways of the world as we move along in our journey and in our walk with God and become holy as he is holy. And it's not that if we're not perfect and we haven't made it yet that you can't come and go, oh, I'm going to contaminate things. There's no condemnation in Christ. Being in the presence of the Lord sometimes is what helps transform us. Amen. Helps us overcome areas in our life that God wants us to overcome. Helps us to deal with things that God wants us to deal with. So don't ever hold back because you had a bad week or you got a bad attitude or whatever. Come to the house of the Lord. Come to the home of God. And this is where you meet with God and get things right. Amen. This is where forgiveness is given. This is where, now I'm not saying this can't happen on an individual level. We in our society are very individualistic. That's the motto of our society. That's the MO. That's the method of how our society works. Autonomy and independence and just, you know, we can do it on our own. But that isn't what Christianity is. Christianity is a body of believers, as we've talked about the images. It's a temple of God. We need each other. We need to be together. God's home is here when we gather. And so this is a place to come with all of our laundry, all of our problems, all of our victories, all of our successes. And it's just a place to come and be in the presence of God because God's the fixer of all things. Amen. Amen. It gets gooder and gooder the more we go. So when we come together, it's a worshiping gathering. The Bible says to offer up the fruit of our lips as a sacrifice of praise. And I like that verse because it doesn't say offer up your thoughts. It says offer up the lips of because it's the fruit of our praise. And what that means is that we actually have to move our mouth. use our voices to offer up praise. And we can be contemplative, we can think about things, but I think there's a place for us to verbalize our praise and our worship when we're in the presence of God. David D. Silva, who is a theologian, writes, "Worship involves becoming so fully aware of God's presence, character, and power that worship is the natural response of ourselves and those around us." So as we become more and more aware of the fact that, hey, we're gathering on Sunday morning and we're creating this house where God lives by his Spirit, and we begin to understand that and begin to grasp that more, the response, almost an automatic response, is a desire to worship. Amen. It's a learning gathering when we come together in the house of God. It says in Colossians to let the message of Christ dwell richly among you as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's a time when people gather. When you gather together, this is what's happening. Worship is happening. Learning is happening. We learn through the preaching of the word and through the songs and through the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's a transforming gathering from glory to glory. Being in the presence of the Lord, I believe you can't help but be changed. Now, sometimes it's painful change, but you can be changed. And a lot of times it's just adding, God adding to what's already going on all week long. Man, you've been with God, and it's just been glorious. And then you come together, and we're in God's house together. He's moved in, and he just adds to what he's been doing in your life. So it goes either way. It's a fellowship gathering, and not just fellowship with each other, that's important, but a fellowship with God. Again, the reason for a temple is not, the reason for a temple is for it, so that it's a place for God to live on earth. It's not firstly a place of worship, it's firstly the place where God lives. But worship comes as a result of us understanding. And fellowship comes as a result of us understanding that we have firstly come and God now dwells in our midst. And from there flows everything else about what we call a service as we gather. And of course, it's a prayer-filled gathering. Jesus said that his house would be a house of prayer. I'm going to stop here in a couple minutes, about another 15, 20. The presence of God is here right now, whether the band sang just the right songs or whether we feel or sense it, he's here. I believe that we can learn to cultivate the presence of the Lord in our lives. It's like anything else, we can cultivate things in our lives. Meditate on the reality of his presence. Even in your own life, just meditate on that. The scriptures say, I'm God's house. God dwells within me. It's okay to get the mind and the whatever lined up. The Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Meditate on the reality of his presence. Prayerfully enter in the time when we gather together. Being aware of the fact that we are creating a living place for God to dwell in. And I think we need to quiet our minds from the craziness of the world. That's a hard task to do. But maybe start Saturday night. Shut the news off, please. Amen. But maybe begin to quiet in our hearts, and quiet in our minds. We're not being religious. line up with that. Spend time in the scriptures, of course, but spend time there knowing that he's there to teach. And one of the ways that I experience the presence of the Lord the most is when I'm spending time in the scriptures. And it's just something that's part of me because I love to learn and I love to think and I love to just stimulate my mind. And when I'm doing all of that on the things of the Lord, it's like he just fills the room and I can spend hours and hours and hours. There's times I've spent 8 hours a day in that when I had the time. That doesn't happen much anymore, but it wasn't because I needed to do that and get things done. It was just I liked it so much I didn't want to leave it. But some of you don't have that kind of time, obviously. But the point is that each one of us can experience God in various ways, and in your car, and you know, in your free time. But any one of these things, meditating on his reality, prayerfully entering into a time when we gather, spending time in the scriptures. But it doesn't have to be like me, because you're not geared like me. And all the God's people said, amen, you're not geared like me. And get to know his inner voice. Get to know his inner voice in your inner man. And I know that some people struggle with that, but you can get to know that. Amen. So let me read this last scripture, Revelation 21. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And in verse 22 it said, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Actually, what happened there is once again God came to the earth. His creation once again became the temple. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and pray, if that's okay. Almighty God, you've built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Before Pastor Craig comes, there's a blessing I used to give at the end of our service, and to me it says it all. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice and strive for full reconciliation. Encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for letting me share today.
Whatever your prayers are, healing or believing, they're here to pray with you. So, church, you are the temple of God, where the presence of God dwells in power and goodness. I'll say it again. Church, you are the power of God, where the presence of God dwells in goodness. Power. Amen? Hey, that works, Jerry. Bow your heads. Go in that power and goodness of God's presence. Because just as we represent the temple. As Jerry said, you also are a temple where you get to live in his presence out there too. And so God bless you and have a most amazing week. And we'll see you at an amazing baptism service next Sunday. Amen.